Good morning. Today's daf Pesachim Kuf Chaf. This is the second to last daf of the Masechta. We're starting with the Mishnah Kuf Yutes Amud Beis. The Mishnah we're familiar with. This is a response to the Chacham. At the Seder, there are four sons that they were introduced to. They are not four different sons that are described in the Torah, but rather the Chazal, the Midrashim, assembled together four different personality types based on the type of question that's asked in the Torah. And so, as we all know, traditionally the Chacham is asking the first question of the four questions, and the response is Maftir Nachar Pesach Hafikomen. So it's a Mishnah. We're responding to him with a Mishnah. A lot of discussion in terms of why we respond to the Chacham with this Mishnah. That's not the response the Torah gives. But anyway, let's get underway. We get to learn the Mishnah together. So the Mishnah over here says very succinctly in Maftir Nachar Pesach Hafikomen, and the Mishnah is really hard to understand at simple face value. The word Haftorah over here is referring to the conclusion, the end. Every time we have the word Haftorah, it's a description of the conclusion. And so therefore, one is not allowed to conclude after eating Karban Pesach with Afikomen. What does that mean? Afikomen is not it's certainly not a Hebrew word found in the Mishnah. It's not a Hebrew word. It's probably a Greek word. The chances are is that we're going to be describing it more Aramaic, but definitely not a Hebrew word. What does the Mishnah mean? So at this point in time, it's fair to say we don't know. So let's go. Ma'afikomen. So the Gemara's question over here is really simple. What does the Mishnah mean when the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to conclude with after the Karban Pesach with afikomen? So what does that mean? So the Gemara is going to give two basic pshatim in terms of what the Mishnah means. We start off with Rav. Amar Rav shelo yakru mechabur lechabura. So Rav is of the position that one is not allowed to move from one chabur to another chabur, as we've described already at length over the course of this Masechta. So when you're eating Karban Pesach, you're eating it together with a group. That group is called a chabur. They're the ones who registered over this particular Karban Pesach. And so there was a discussion that we had going back some time ago in terms of whether or not the Karban Pesach can be eaten in two locations. You remember a Mishnah that we saw back on Daf Pei Vav, and with really there are two opinions amongst the Tanaim. But the Mishnah Stam is going like Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda says that a Karban Pesach cannot be eaten in Shtei Mekamos, cannot be eaten in two locations. And so therefore, according to Rav, the Mishnah over here in Maftir Nachar Pesach Hafikomen is going in line with the Shita of Rav Yehuda. And in addition to the Karban Pesach not being allowed to eat in two different locations, so the person is not allowed to jump from one Chabur to another Chabur. Let's take a look at Rashi over here for more of an explanation of this position of Rav. We turn to Rashi, the first Rashbam in the Gemara. Amar Rav shelo yakru mechabur lechabura achar she'achlu ha'pesach bechabura. So you finish your Karban Pesach, and now you've completed your mitzvah of eating Karban Pesach. Lo yachlu bechabura acheres lechol lo pasul lo shem davar. So what you're not allowed to do, this is what the Amish is teaching us, is that you can't go to another chabura, even if it's just to eat some bread. Bread, of course, over here meaning matzah, or anything else. Gzera dama aslam echel esapescha b'shnei mekamos. Because what you may end up doing, unwittingly, but still, you may end up doing, is you may end up eating the Karban Pesach in two locations. Now, v'anan tanan stamika Rav Yehuda b'ketzat solen. Now, we do paskan like Rav Yehuda earlier in our Masechta. The Pesach Nechal B'Shtei Chaburos, what you could do is you could take the Karban Pesach and divide into two groups. However, Ein HaOchel Ochel HaPesach B'Shtei Mekamos. But once you are a consumer of the Karban Pesach, you cannot eat Karban Pesach in two locations. V'achmel Sa Deravuk Me'asim B'Shas Achila. And that's at the time when you're eating. Aval Acher Achila Yachol Le'akar Lomar Hala B'Chabura Acheres. Now, after you finish, you have to conclude your meal. So certainly what you have the right to do is you have the right to leave your Chabura to, let's say, for example, say Hala in another location. The hakpar of the Torah is not to eat in two locations. Now, if you want to eat something else in the same location, that's fine. Again, all this is according to the Shita of Rav, as understood by the Rashbam. If you want to eat something else in the same location, that would be perfectly fine. And this is going to be in stark contrast to the positions of Shmuel and the position of Rav Yochanan, which we haven't seen yet in the Gemara. But what they're going to conclude is that you're not allowed to eat anything after the Karban Pesach, even in the same location. So far now, what we have in front of us is the Mishnah, which is Ein Maftir Nachar Pesach Hafikomen. And right now we have our first interpretation of the Mishnah, that belonging to Rav, which is that what you're not allowed to do is you're not allowed to move and eat anything in another location. Remaining in the same location, eating in the same location, something after Karban Pesach would be fine. But moving to another location would be problematic. And why? So the Chachamim prohibited that activity for fear that you may end up taking some Karban Pesach and moving it to a new location, which would be a violation of the Torah according to Rabbi Yehuda, which Rav obviously subscribes to. That's all but one shot in what the Mishnah means when it says, "Ein maftir nachar Pesach afikomen." And then, in terms of the word afikomen, so afikomen, take a look at the end of that Rashbam that we've been working on. Ularav hachimashma le afikomen afiku manaychu. Afikomen is a contraction of the word afiku manaychu. Let us take our dishes. Let's move our utensils to another location in order to eat another location, which what the Mishnah is telling us is that's what you're not allowed to do. Ein maftir nachar Pesach afikomen. Like I mentioned earlier, the word afikomen probably is a Greek word, but Rashi over here is able to break it up into two Aramaic words. Okay, so that's all but one pshat. We move on into the Gemara, into our second pshat, and that's Shmuel. Shmuel Amar Kigon, Ujulai Liv V'Guzlai La'aba. Shmuel says, no, the Mishnah over here means is desserts. Now, desserts are different for different people. So as far as what I like as desserts, says Shmuel, I like mushrooms. And Rav would prefer some sort of bird, chicken, something along those lines. And but what the Mishnah is telling us is that you're not allowed to eat anything after the afikomen. So according to Shmuel, the pshat of the Mishnah is ein maftir nachar Pesach afikomen. You're not allowed to eat anything after having eaten Karban Pesach. The Rashbam over here, again, we go back to the Rashbam. So ein maftir nachar, no, not that one, sorry. Kegon adrilai liu v'guzai la'aba. L'rav v'dushmo ha'varag la'achol b'kinuch se'uda k'men ha'petros v'rav la'achol achar se'uda gozlos. So fine. Everyone's got different ideas of what they want for dessert. Now, what the word afikomen is understood by Shmuel is to take sweet things out after the meal. Now, this is the Rashbam's understanding of Shmuel. It goes without saying that you're not allowed to take something from one chabur and move it to another chabur. That's obvious. Even to eat anything else, even in your very own chabura, so that is going to be prohibited. The reason why is because you don't want to lose the taste of the Karban Pesach in your mouth. Now, why? In other words, it's a nice idea, and we are all used to saying it. But what's the problem? In other words, why exactly do I need the taste of the Karban Pesach in my mouth? The mitzvah, of course, is to eat the Karban Pesach. There's also a mitzvah to have the taste of the Karban Pesach in your mouth. So once again, we go back to the Rashbam. This is the part of the explanation that's usually left out when people say this over. Ulafisha dino le'echo b'sof al ha'sova v'chein kol karbanos k'dechsiv l'mashcha l'gedula k'derech sh'malachim Oakland. So the Rashbam goes on to explain the reason why it's so critical to have the taste of the Karban Pesach in your mouth is because, as we know, Karban Pesach has to be eaten ala sova. The Rashbam points out the truth is it's true by any carbon. Every carbon has to be eaten ala sova. What that means, as we explained already numerous times in our Masechta, is the idea that you have to be mostly full by the time you're eating a carbon. You can't be eating carbon in a state of being immensely hungry. And if you do so, eventually what's going to end up happening is that you are going to be eating the karban in a non-dignified manner. So basically what you want to do over the course of the evening is basically fill up on other foods, but not totally fill up, mostly fill up on other foods. And so by the time you get to the Karban Pesach, you're going to be now mostly full and you're going to be able to eat it in a dignified and a regal manner. And the idea that you should, that the last taste in your mouth should be the Karban Pesach, effectively what that means is that by the time you're eating Karban Pesach, you're mostly full, so that you don't want to eat anything more after the Karban Pesach. That's the idea of having the taste of the Karban Pesach in your mouth, as explained by the Rashbam. So what we have in front of us right now are two divergent understandings of what the Mishnah means. When the Mishnah says, "Ein maftir nachar Pesach afikomen," we have Rav and we have Shmuel. And again, just to succinctly summarize the two positions, according to Rav, what you're not allowed to do is move to another chabura in order to eat in another chabura. the fear, the concern is that you're going to take your Korban Pesach and eat that in a second Chabura, and that is a violation of Rav Yehuda's position, which is that you're not allowed to eat B'shtei Mekomos. Korban Pesach cannot be eaten in two locations. According to Rav, if you want to continue eating after Korban Pesach in your original location, that would be fine. Where Shmuel says no. The Pshat in the Mishnah, Maftir Nachar Pesach Havikomen, according to the Rashbam, it goes without saying that you're not allowed to move to another location, but even in your original location, you're not allowed to eat anything after the Korban Pesach, because you have to make sure that what you have done is that you have successfully eaten the Korban Pesach in a state of sova, while you're mostly full, and thereby, if you eat anything after the Korban Pesach, it shows that you weren't totally full by the time you ate the Korban Pesach. So basically, it's like we're reverse engineering. By virtue of the fact that you're not allowed to eat anything after the Korban Pesach, it will force you to be in a position where you're going to be mostly full by the time you eat the Korban Pesach, so that the Korban Pesach can be eaten in a state of al hasova. Adkan, that takes us now to the end of the two Amoraim of how to understand the Mishnah and the understanding of these two positions. Everything I've done so far was just the Rashbam's understanding of their positions. There are other Rishonim in terms of how to understand both Rav and Shmuel, but for this morning, we're going to limit ourselves just to the Rashbam's understanding. Continuing back in the Gemara of Rav Yochanan, could go in Tamar and Klaius Ve'egozim. I skipped a couple words, yeah. Rav Chanina bar Shila, Rav Yochanan, could go in Tamar and Klaius Ve'egozim. So, according to these Amoraim, the dessert foods are going to be dates and roasted kernels and nuts. Tan Kavasa to Rav Yochanan. We have a brisa supporting Rav Yochanan before we get to the brisa. Well, basically, what comes out over here is that according to the Rashbam, Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yochanan effectively agree with Shmuel, meaning their understanding of Ein Maftir Nachar Pesach Hafikomen is exactly like Shmuel's, is that you're not allowed to have any foods after the Korban Pesach again because of this halacha of Al Hasova. And it just happens to be that the only thing divergent of their position is what exactly is going to be considered dessert food. Tanya Kavasa de Rav Yochanan, the Gemara quotes the Braisa that supports Rav Yochanan, Ein Maftir Nachar Pesach Kigon, Tamar and Klaius Ve'egozim. So over here, the Braisa says that you're not allowed to have a dessert after the Korban Pesach. And the examples of Tamar and Klaius Ve'egozim. So basically, the dessert foods that are selected by the Braisa are exactly what Rav Yochanan reported. But probably more fundamentally is the idea that the Ein Maftir Nachar Pesach Hafikamen is talking about eating the prohibition of eating desserts after the Korban Pesach, even if you're in your original location. Adkan, that takes us now to the first part of the Gemara today. Continuing in the Gemara, I'm Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So as we probably all noticed, we are now without Korban Pesach. We've been without a Korban Pesach now for almost 2,000 years, since Korban Bayis Sheni. And so therefore, the only foods that we have left to eat at the Seder are going to be Matzah Mara. Of course, there's charosis. Of course, there's karpas. Of course, there's dalakosos. But in terms of the achilas that were around in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, so you had, we have now matzah mara. Mara is definitely a din derabanan. Whether or not matzah is a din derabanan, din deraisa, so it happens to me in today's daf, we're going to have a machlokus amaraim, whether matzah bezmanah zeh is a din deraisa or din derabanan. Okay, which we'll get to later. But the question the Gemara is going to ask now is very simple. It's not going to ask it, but address is very simple. Nowadays that we don't have the Korban Pesach and we don't have this issue of eating the Korban Pesach halasova and we don't have this issue of eating Korban Pesach mechabur lechabura, so are these halachas still going to apply? Meaning, do we have this idea that you're not allowed to eat a dessert after what we eat today, which of course is matzah? Now, we eat matzah over the course of the Seder in basically in three stages or three different periods. One, we eat the matzah immediately after we make the bracha of a motzi. We make the bracha of a motzi, followed immediately with the brachos mitzvah, alach ilas matzah, and then we eat matzah a first time. We eat matzah then again as karech, as a sandwich, zecher kehillel, as we described a little bit earlier in our perek. And then we eat the matzah a third time, and that's at the end of the meal. It's what you and I call afikomen. Right, and now we know where the term comes from. It obviously came from our Mishnah. So we eat it a third time. So we just learned that regarding the Korban Pesach, at least according to Shmuel, which seems to be the accepted viewpoint, it's Rav Yochanan's viewpoint and it's the Braisa's viewpoint. So we just learned that when it comes to the Korban Pesach, you're not allowed to have a snack after the Korban Pesach. Is the same thing going to be true nowadays when all we have is matzah? Are we going to have this halacha that you're not allowed to have a snack after eating the matzah? So the Gemara discusses that right now. I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Maftir Nachar Matzah Afikomen. So the Gemara quotes B'Shem Shmuel, that you're not allowed to have a snack after matzah. Just like we learned together, you're not allowed to have a snack after Karm Pesach, you're not allowed to have a snack after matzah. Now, really important and an interesting Rashbam over here, Ein Maftir Nachar Matzah, if you come in, he writes as follows, Shetzarech Lechol Matzah, B'Gemar Sudaso, Zerech Lematzah, Anechal Chima Pesach B'Kricha, V'zuhi Matzah HaBetzua Shanu Ochlim Ba'achrona, L'Shem Cholva. So the Rashbam says over here that the matzah that we eat at the end of the meal, so what is it reminiscent of? Of course, it's reminiscent of the Karban Pesach, because Karban Pesach was eaten at the end of the meal, as we've already established numerous times. So nowadays, well, we don't have the Karban Pesach, but the matzah that we eat at the end of the meal, so that's going to be reminiscent of the Karban Pesach. And consider, says the Rashbam, that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, so we ate the Karban Pesach together with matzah and maror. So nowadays, the matzah we're eating at the end of the meal is going to remind us of that, because even in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, we had matzah at the end of the meal to eat the Karban Pesach with. The Karban Pesach has to be eaten with matzah and maror. Fine. And then he went in, and then he goes on to write, and anyway, the matzah that we eat at the end of the meal, that's our matzah that we're eating l'shem chova, meaning that's our obligation. Now, it's true that we've already eaten matzah twice before, but that has not satisfied our obligation. And so what comes out now is that according to the Rashbam and Tosfos, which we're not going to go through, but Tosfos also is in agreement with this point as well, is that the matzah at the end of the meal, what you and I describe as afikomen, the matzah at the end of the meal, that's the matzah that we're eating l'shem chova. That's our fulfillment of the mitzvah of eating matzah on the Seder night. So it begs the following question. The Rashbam is going to ask it. If that's true, what are we doing making the brachas mitzvah much earlier? Meaning we're making the brachas mitzvah at the beginning of the seuda, when meanwhile that's not the chiyuv according to the Rashbam. So the Rashbam takes us back to a Gemara that we learned about a week ago. The Gemara in Kuftas Vav discussed what if the person only has a mara vegetable and has no other vegetable. So what do you do? So it was a machlokus, but the halacha falls like Rav Chista, which is you're going to make both bracha of bar pri adama and the brachas mitzvah al achilas mara in the first slot when you're eating that vegetable during the karpa slot, even though you're not fulfilling the mitzvah at that point in time, you're only fulfilling the mitzvah later during the actual mara slot. But yet, the argument of Rav Chista was, it's just not appropriate. Not appropriate that you're going to be eating mara and not making the brachos a mitzvah, despite the fact that the actual mitzvah is being fulfilled later. So the Rashbam says it's going to be the same exact thing over here. Over here, even though the chovas hamatzah is only going to be done at the conclusion of the meal, nevertheless, the brachos a mitzvah, since you're eating the matzah earlier anyway, so the brachos a mitzvah is going to be made earlier. That is the Rashbam's understanding. Hilkach, just finishing up this Rashbam. Hilkach mevarach atavayu bereisha. V'hadar achal matzah ba'achron v'achar oso matzah in niftar mimenu ba'achilas davar achir. And so therefore now what we're learning is as follows, is that one's not allowed to eat after that afikomen. Shalo lishkach ta'ama uve'matzah bezman hazemari deleka pesach ba'ada di bezman di'ika pesach ha'ba'adei tanan imaftir nachar pesach afikomen v'hainu achar pesach u'matzah ne'achal asimo. The Rashbam just clarifies that we're talking about matzah nowadays. We're not talking about matzah during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, because matzah during the time of the Beis HaMikdash is eaten in conjunction with the Karm Pesach, and that's already been covered by our Mishnah. Okay, so what comes out now is a lot of really interesting ideas over here from this Rashbam. First of all, Rav Yehuda Mishmuel is addressing nowadays, Bezman Hazeh. The idea is that after you eat the Afikomen, meaning what you and I call the Afikomen, the matzah at the end of the meal, so we're not allowed to eat anything afterwards because we want the taste of matzah to linger in our mouth for the balance of the evening. And the reason why is because it's that matzah which really is representative of the Karban Pesach that was eaten in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, since the Karban Pesach was eaten at the end of the meal in conjunction with matzah. So nowadays all we have is matzah, but it's reminiscent of that. In addition to that, the Rashbam also highlights that the matzah that we eat at the end of the meal, that in fact is going to be the true obligation that we're fulfilling. The matzah beforehand is just simply because we start a meal and we just wash our hands, and of course, what are we going to eat? We're going to eat bread. Bread of this evening happens to be matzah. But that's not the chova. The chova is coming at afikomen. That is the critically important points of the Rashbam over here. This idea that the matzah that we're eating at the end of the meal, that's our obligation. That's the time that we're actually fulfilling the mitzvah of eating matzah. That is not unanimous. Not all Rishonim agree with this point. Many Rishonim are of the opinion that it's the matzah that we're eating at the beginning of the meal, which is serving as our obligation. So, to say the least, it is a complex situation. It's a complex matter in terms of which matzah we're eating is in fact going to be our chova, right? Part of the reason why the halacha demands that we have two kezesim for the matzah that we eat at the beginning of the meal, and again, another two kezesim at the point of afikomen. Okay, much more to discuss on this issue. But we're going to keep our focus over here on the Gemara. So on the Gemara itself, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says that one is not allowed to have any snacks after matzah, just like our Mishnah taught us that you're not allowed to snack after eating Karm Pesach. So the Gemara now wants to see whether the statement of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel can in fact be supported. So let's take a look back at our Mishnah. Tana Inim Aftir Nachar Pesach Hafikoman. So Achar Pesach Udalo Achol Aval Achar Matzah Maftirin. So the Gemara thinks now that we have a really strong question from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that you can't snack after Karm Pesach, and the Diyuk is that you can't snack after Karm Pesach, but what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to snack after matzah. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a Diyuk in the Mishnah. Lo mi bai kamar. The Mishnah is not a proof at all. Lo mi bai achar matzah. The lo nafish tamayu. Avala achar Pesach, the nafish tamayu. Velo matzah avure leislan ba. Kamash malan. The Gemara says, no. I might have thought, it goes without saying, that you're not allowed to eat anything after matzah. The Mishnah didn't write that because it's so obvious to the Mishnah that you can't eat anything after matzah. Matzah does not have a very strong taste. And so therefore, if you were to eat anything after the matzah, it really would disrupt the taste of matzah. It would remove the taste of matzah from your mouth. On the other hand, roasted meat, roasted lamb, that has a really strong taste. And one can make the argument that I'm never going to lose the taste of the meat. And so therefore, I might have thought that I'm allowed to eat something after the Karm Pesach. And that's what the Mishnah is telling us. So the Mishnah's style is lo mi bai kamar. So it means to say that the Mishnah's, it goes without saying you're not allowed to eat after matzah. The Mishnah is giving us also the additional chiddush that you're not allowed to eat after the Karm Pesach. That is a defense of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Just as a side note, it bothers me. I'll just say it. But as a side note, the reason why it's hard to understand the question altogether, because what one could simply say is that the Mishnah is talking about the Zman Beis HaMikdash, and Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel is talking about when there is no Beis HaMikdash. So it's two totally different discussions. Meaning, how can you make a diuk from the Mishnah when the Mishnah is talking about the time of the Beis HaMikdash? Okay. Anyway, it is a little bit troubling why the Gemara didn't approach it from that manner, but anyway. Name a Misayele. The Gemara now says, let the following Braisa provide a support because the Braisa says that Sufkanim Vadufshanim Vaha Iskritin. So Adam Malik Kresa Mehima Vavashalo Yochel Kizais Matzah Bachrona. So the Braisa tells us that you can have all these types of delicacies over the course of the meal on your Seder night. These are basically soft matzahs that are baked together with honey or other things. In other words, it's matzah shira, various forms of matzah shira. Again, our minhag is not to eat matzah shira over the course of Pesach, and egg matzahs falls under this category of matzah shira. And minhag Ashkenaz is that healthy people are not to eat matzah shira. Somebody who's sick or older has an allowance to eat matzah shira. Anyway, the Bryce over here is talking about matzah shira. So you can eat it all you want, but in order to fulfill the obligation of eating matzah the Seder night, so as we have already established numerous times, so it has to be lechem oni. So the lechem oni has to be eaten when? You have to be eating a kezayis of it ba'achrona at the very end of the meal. Okay, so the Gemara now makes a very simple diuk, ba'achrona in b'rishon alone. So it has to be done at the end of the meal, but not at the beginning of the meal, because the end of the meal is the one where you're eating your obligatory matzahs, and that should be the last thing that's eaten at your meal. So that would now seem to be a proof for Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So good. So there's now we're on the top of Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says, no, lo mi bai kamar. So the Gemara says, you could deflect the proof. And that is that what the Brice is telling us is something which is obvious. Lo mi bai b'rishana dekachal te'avon. When I'm eating the matzah at the beginning of the meal, so there I'm hungry. What the Bryce is telling me is that, look, when you get to the end of the meal, it could very well be that I'm totally full at that point in time. And the achila would be an achila gasa, meaning if I'm going to stuff myself on all these types of matzah shira, so really then when I get to the afikoman and eat the afikoman again, what you and I describe as the afikoman, that's the matzah at the end of the meal. So I might have thought that I'd be so stuffed that that's not even considered an achila. So what the Bryce wants to teach me is that that in fact is considered an achila. But not because it wants to negate the matzah that we ate earlier in the meal. Okay. The Gemara now is going to go through a second version of this discussion as to whether or not there is a prohibition to eat after you eat matzahs afikomen at the Lel HaSeder. So far, the first version says that you're not allowed to eat after the matzahs afikomen, and now the Gemara is going to give us a different viewpoint or a different version of the discussion. So here in the second version, you're allowed to have something after you eat the matzahs afikomen. Name a misayele. The Gemara says, okay, I think we can support it now. And so basically what we're going to do now, this is almost like a mirror image of the previous, of the first version. Because now in the second version, since we are, our starting point is that you are allowed to eat after matzah safi coming. So now what was a proof before now becomes a challenge. And what was a challenge before now becomes a proof. Okay. So we're just basically looking at the mirror image of the previous, discussion. So we start off with the Mishnah, Eim Aftir Nachar Pesach Afikomen. So Achar Pesach, Delo Achal Achar, Matzah Maftirin. So you're not allowed to eat after Karm Pesach, but you're allowed to eat after Matzah, right? So the Gemara says, no, Lomi Bai Kamar. So again, this is easily deflected. And that is Lomi Bai Achar Matzah Lilan Fish Time Eyaval Achar Pesach Eim Alo Kamash Malan. And so again, the same argument that we just gave earlier, in that I might have thought that with the Karm Pesach, it's such a stronger flavor, has such a stronger taste, that would linger. Matzah, on the other hand, is not a strong taste, and therefore, anything you eat afterwards would easily mitigate it, so the Mishnah didn't have to tell it to us by matzah. Meisvei, the Gemara challenges with a brisa of kanim v'adufshan v'ayis karaitin, adam emale kreso mehem v'avacha yochel kezayis matzah b'achrona. So you want to eat all your matzah shira over the course of the meal, that's fine, but you have to eat the matzah, the lechem oni matzah at the end of the meal, b'achrona in b'rishon alone. And over here, the diuk seems to be very simple. Only at the end of the meal are you fulfilling your obligation, not earlier. And again, that would seem to indicate that the last thing you should be eating is the matzah of afikoman and nothing else. And this would now go against the second version. The Gemara says, no, lo mi bai kamar, lo mi bai brishon dekach leteyavan aval b'achrona, da'asa lemich le'achil agase imaloka mashmalan. That's not the point the Bryce is trying to make. The point the Bryce is trying to make is that at the beginning of the meal, when I'm good and hungry, so that's matzah, that you understand, that's good. But at the end of the meal, one could have made the argument that you're so stuffed at that point in time, anything you're eating is achila gasa, so, and the Bryce wants to tell us that no, it's not considered achila gasa, it's still considered achila. The Gemara just took us through two different versions. That bizman is there, that all we have is matzah, is one allowed to eat after matzah. So one version of Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel is that you're not allowed to eat, which is the accepted halacha. And the second version is that you are allowed to eat. We take on the first version of this discussion, and that one is not allowed to eat after the afikomen. That I believe is pretty well known. Anyway, that's, our Gemara, at least in the first version, is a source of that, halacha. Amar Rava. We are on Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph. The Gemara now is going to be discussing a very basic point, which is matzah bizman hazeh. Nowadays, that all we have is a matzah, and unfortunately, we do not have Karban Pesach. We've been without Karban Pesach for almost 2,000 years. So now when we eat the matzah nowadays, are we fulfilling a mitzvah d'oraisa? Meaning, as we're going to argue in just a moment, you could say that the matzah bizman hazeh is not a din d'oraisa because the Torah says that you're eating matzah and marad in conjunction together with your Karban Pesach. And once you no longer have a Karban Pesach, so the matzah we eat nowadays is no longer fulfillment of the mitzvah d'oraisa. That's one way you can argue it. And in fact, we're going to see, that's Rav Acha bar Yaakov, which we're going to see momentarily. On the other hand, as Rav is going to argue, despite the fact that we don't have Karban Pesach, matzah nowadays is going to be still a mitzvah d'oraisa. How do we arrive at that conclusion? So let's see the Gemara inside. Amar Rav, matzah bizman hazeh d'oraisa. The eating of matzah nowadays is still a fulfillment of a mitzvah d'oraisa. Mar d'rabbanan. Mar, on the other hand, is a mitzvah d'rabbanan. And now the Gemara says, now that needs explanation. Maishna marer, dechsev ha-matzos marim mizman dika pesach yesh marer, vizman da leka pesach leka marer. So the Gemara says that marer nowadays is only a din d'rabbanan because marer is only a mitzvah d'oraisa when eaten in conjunction with the Karban Pesach. So the Gemara now presents the obvious question. So Matzanami Aksiv al Matzah Marurim. So why don't we say the same argument by matzah? Matzah nowadays should only be a mitzvah derabbanan. Once we lost the Karban Pesach, so then matzah should be downgraded to a mitzvah derabbanan, no longer a mitzvah deraisa. So the Gemara's explanation is as follows. Matzah mehadar hadar bekra. Be'erev tochlu matzos. Now, when it comes to matzah, so there's a separate pasuk describing matzah. So the Torah says in Parshas Bo be'erev tochlu matzos that we're eating matzah this evening, and that is separate and independent of that of the Karban Pesach. Meaning matzah comes as part of the Karban Pesach package, the bundling of the Karban Pesach. Al matzah samarim yochluhu. So that's one aspect, that's one element of matzah. But at the same time, matzah also can exist as an independent entity, as an independent mitzvah. That's be'erev tochlu matzos. And what Rav is highlighting is that the Torah is basically putting these two elements into the matzah so that even in the absence of Karban Pesach, there's still going to be a mitzvah d'oraisa of eating matzah. That's all the shita of Rava. Rav Acha bar Yaakov amar echadze v'echadze d'rabanan. Rav Acha bar Yaakov says that both Mara and matzah nowadays is a din d'rabanan. Okay, so, and we totally understand, meaning once you no longer have Karban Pesach, so both the matzah and the Mara get downgraded to a din d'rabanan. But now the Gemara wants to know, so good. But according to Rav Acha bar Yaakov, what are you going to do with the pasuk of Erev Tochlu Matzos? That's the Gemara's very next question. Ela haksib Erev Tochlu Matzos. So what do you do with that pasuk according to Rav Acha bar Yaakov? Ha'imi baile, letam evshea b'derech rechoka. So the Gemara says that according to Rav Acha bar Yaakov, so you need it for somebody who's tamei in derech rechoka. Two people who receive legitimate exemptions of not being able to bring Karban Pesach. So for them, so they're going to be home for that Pesach. So, think about it. It's a really simple question. If you're either in a state of tuma or you're b'derech rechoka and you're not offering Karban Pesach, so when you're home that Seder night, so are you eating matzah? So so unbelievable. So you might have thought, it's an excellent havamina, that for those people, they're living in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. They're not by the Beis HaMikdash. So I might have thought that while they're home, so what are they going to be eating? They're going to be eating nothing. Meaning they're certainly not eating Karban Pesach, and maybe they shouldn't be eating matzah, and maybe shouldn't be eating marah. So but Erev Tochlu Matzos is coming to teach us that they are in fact going to be eating matzah. That's what the pasuk is teaching us according to Rav Acha bar Yaakov. And just as an interesting diuk over here, the Hava Mina is, I might have thought they're not going to be eating matzah, nor are they going to be eating marur. And the Kamash Malan, seemingly, right, that's a simple reading of the Gemara, is that they are going to be eating matzah and they are going to be eating marur. Well, that's a little bit difficult to understand. Meaning the pasuk that generates their obligation for matzahs, but Erev Tochlu Matzos, it's only for matzah, not for marur. So the Gemara's mention of marur over here is certainly curious and definitely needs more explanation. But anyway, Rav Amalecha, now what Rav will tell you is Tamei Vishaya B'derech Rechoka Lo Zarekra D'lo Gari Me'arel B'Neichar. So Rav's counter-argument is as follows. Look, when it comes to the Tamei Derech Rechoka, I know already that they're going to be eating matzah at home. How do I know that? Because they're no worse than the Arel and the B'Neichar. Two other people who were also excluded from eating Karban Pesach, and yet we know the halacha is that they're going to be eating matzah at the Seder night. The Tanya, we have a price. So we have a specific drasha that teaches us that the Arel and the Benechar, despite the fact that they're not eating Karban Pesach, are going to be eating matzah mara. So if our Arel and our Benechar are going to be eating matzah, so then it goes without saying that the Tamei and the Derech Rechoka are going to also be eating matzah at home. And so I don't need a specific drasha. V'idach. Now what Rav Acha bar Yaakov is going to counter, he's going to say, k'si b'hai, k'si b'hai, u'tzrichi. No, I need a limud in both. I need a limud for the Tamei and the Derech Rechoka. I need a separate limud for our Aro and our Benechar. And they do not translate one to another. And I'm not going to go through it now, but take a look at the Rashbam over here. The Gemara just simply says, u'tzricha, they're both necessary. What you expect the Gemara to do from that point going forward is explain, what is the tzrichusa? Why, if I only had one, I wouldn't have known the other? So the Rashbam over here goes through the back and forth in terms of why exactly there is a tzrichusa, why they're both necessary. Tani Kavase de Rava, the Gemara now is going to be quoting a braisa in full support of Rava's position. Shitas Rava is that matzah bezmanah zeh zeh din d'oraisa. The braisa over here is going to corroborate. Sheishas yamin tocha matzos v'yam ha'shviyah tzeres l'Hashem elokecha. So for 6 days you're going to be eating matzah. It's a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. So for 6 days you're going to be eating matzah, and then Yom HaShvi'i Atzeres. It's a yontav on the seventh day. So Mashvi'i Rishos Av Sheshes Yamim Rishos. So just like the seventh day, is there an obligation to eat matzah? No, there's no obligation to eat matzah. right? Obviously, we know there's a seuda that comes together with yantiv, and the seuda is going to have matzah, but independent of the seuda of yantiv, there's no independent mitzvah to eat matzah on the seventh day. It's the rishus. So that's true by the seventh day. It's also true by the 6 days as well. So my tami avadavashaya bechlav, yatza minachlal, lamed, lamed alatzma yatza, lamed alakal kula yatza. So what we're going to do over here is employ one of the yugimul midosh atar nejeshes by him. One that, quite frankly, is not used that often. The idea that with the Torah makes a, after giving us a generality, brings out an exception. Once the Torah brings out the exception, what we're entitled to do is look at the exception and then translate it back to the generality. Right? It's, again, you're not going to see it this one of the midos used that often. Right? I haven't done a search, but it's rare you're going to see this one of the midos used. Some of the midos are used all the time. Xerushava, Kalva Chomer, Binyanav. So those you see throughout Shas. This one of Davar Yatsam and Aklal is really used infrequently. Anyway, so over here, before we get to the Yachol. So just like the 7th day of Rishos, there's no obligation to eat matzah on the 7th day. So too the prior 6 days, the first 6 days of Pesach also is not an obligation. Yachol. So now the Havamin would be Af Laila Rishon, Rishos. So I might have thought, okay, what about the first night of the of Pesach, or the Seder night? So I might have thought that also was a Rishos Tamalamer Al Matzah Samarim Yachluhu. So the Torah says that it had the Karm Pesach has to be eaten together with Matzah Mara, meaning that there's an obligation. It's not just optional. It's not just a voluntary mitzvah, but it's an obligation that one is supposed to eat matzah on the first night of Pesach. It's not just a Rishus, it's a Chova. Now, Ainli Bezman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim, Bezman Shein HaBeis HaMikdash Kayim, Minayin Tam Alam Be'erf Tochlu Matzos, HaKasuv Kava Chova. And it's the end of this Brisa right now, which we are interested in, because the end of the Brisa says, look, I know there's an obligation in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, but after Churban Beis HaMikdash, is there still going to be an obligation to go ahead and to eat matzah on the first night? And the Brisa says, yes, Be'erf Tochlu Matzos. It's Koveya. It establishes it to be an obligation even after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, even without the Karban Pesach. There's still an obligation to eat matzah on that first night. Comes out over here from the Brisa is that we have full corroboration with the Shita of Rava that matzah bezman hazeh is a mitzvah d'oraisa nowadays, not downgraded to a mitzvah d'rabbanan. Machlokes amarayim between Rava and Rav Achar by Yaakov, and the Gemara over here favors the position of Rava that matzah bezman hazeh is a din d'oraisa. Okay, so a lot of really basic fundamental issues being discussed on the second to last day of the Masechta. Really, really amazing how this information is really just held off until the very end of the Masechta. Let's start the next Mishnah. Tomorrow's daf, you can take a look at it. It's extraordinarily short, but still, let's start the next Mishnah. Let's get into the next sugya of the Gemara. Yeshno miksasan yochlu kulan lo yochlu. So the Mishnah over here gives us a very succinct halacha regarding falling asleep at the Seder. But the way the Rashbam presents it, what we're really describing over here is eating the Karban Pesach. If you take a look at the Rashbam here in the Mishnah, so let's say you start to eat the Karban Pesach and people are falling asleep. Lo yochlu. So what you're not allowed to do is you're not allowed to resume eating the Karban Pesach. Now, why not? In other words, just because you fell asleep, that's going to now prevent you from continuing to eat the Karban Pesach. So the Rashbam goes on to explain. This is a din de rabbanan. Dinira ka'ocho pischo bebeis mekamos. So this actually aligns itself with what we learned in the previous Mishnah, according to the Sheet of Shmuel. And that is that just like one is not allowed to eat the Karban Pesach in shtei mekamos, if you fall asleep and wake up again, even in the same location, it looks as though you're eating Karban Pesach in shtei mekamos. De me'achar she'eshno hisichu datan le'achol, really interesting description the Rashbam gives over here. It's a chumra ba'alma. It's a stringency. Now, obviously, it's a stringency because really what we're saying is as follows. We're saying two things. One is that falling asleep and waking up is like you're eating Karban Pesach in a new location. It's not a new location. It's the same location. But being that it looks, you're giving off the appearance that it looks like you're eating a second location. So therefore, the Chachamim banned you from continuing the Karban Pesach. But that's only if everybody at the table fell asleep. But if only some of the people at the table fell asleep, so then the rest of them can be mamshich, can continue the meal, and so therefore, even those that fell asleep are allowed to continue eating the Karban Pesach. Okay, that's the halacha as described by the Rashbam over here in our Mishnah. So yeshna miksasam yachlu Kulan lo yochlu. But once everybody falls asleep, so now there is a prohibition from continuing to eat the Karban Pesach. Rav Yossi Omer. Now Rav Yossi, as the Rashbam explains, is going back on the Reisha, which is the Reisha says that according to the Tanakhama, is that if some people fell asleep, you're still allowed to eat the Karban Pesach. So the so Rav Yossi says that's only if they're dozing. Meaning, but once some of them fall asleep, so then they're going to be banned and barred from continuing to eat the Karban Pesach. That's the Rashbam's understanding of Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi Amar Nis Nam Nim Nu Yochlu Nir Damu Lo Yochlu. If it's just in and out, fading in and out, so then you can continue eating Karban Pesach. But once Nir Dam, once you totally fall asleep, so then you're not allowed to eat it, even if it's mixas, even if it's just some. Ha Pesach Acher Chatzos Metam Esiyadaim Ha Pigo Vanosim Metam Esiyadaim. Karban Pesach after Chatzos, so that's going to be Matamasi Adayim. The idea that we've expressed already numerous times, especially between Prokims number 5 and 9 in our Masechta, is that the Karban Pesach, once it becomes Nosar, for that matter, any Karban once it becomes Nosar, so the Chachamim also slapped on top of that a Tumas Yadayim, that if the Nosar were to touch your hands now would become Tame. And the reason why the Chachamim did this is because the Kohanim were extraordinarily sensitive to Tuma. And so once something becomes Nosar, that in of itself isn't going to really incentivize the Kohanim. But once you tell the Kohanim that they're going to become Tameh, so that's real motivation incentive for the Kohanim. And so therefore, what the Mishnah is telling us is that after Chatzos, so the Karban Pesach is rendered Nosar. As is the case with any time something you have pigle, you have nosar, it's going to be metamisi adayim. And so what the Mishnah is really telling us is that after midnight, what we're looking at over here is nosar, which means that the Karban Pesach is no longer edible after chatzos. Okay, stay tuned. The Gemara is going to pick up on that. We're just going to go over the first section of the Gemara. We'll reserve the remaining section of the Gemara for tomorrow. First section of the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi, Amin Isnam No Yochlu, Nirdam Lo Yochlu, Hechi Damni Nisnam Neim. So this is a common Gemara. We've seen this already a number of times in terms of giving us a working definition of what does it mean to be fading in and out, but not fully asleep. So Amar Ravashi Nim Velo Nim Tir Velo Tir could go into Karile. Vani Velo Yad El Adui Svara. V'chi Mitkar Ule Mitkar. So the Gemara over here, this is a working definition throughout Shas in terms of what fading in and out looks like. You are not asleep, you're not awake. If somebody calls to you, you can answer, but you can't put together a thought. If you're asked to repeat something, you can for sure repeat it, but you can't put together a thought. That's the working definition. Obviously, it's hard to quantify, but the Gemara gives us some baseline in terms of how to explain it. Amalei Menimka Naimar, sorry. Abai Aviyasukami de Rava. So, Abai was in front of Rava. Okay. In this particular parak, the number of times that we are given little pictures into the relationship between Abai and Rabba. So you can add this one now to the list. So Abai was in front of Rabba, and Chazaka Namnim, and he sees that he was again fading in and out. Amalei Menim Kanaimar. So are you in the state of basically somewhere between awake and asleep? Amalei Minume Kamenamnim. So he says, yeah, the Vitanan is Namnu Yochlu Nirdama Lo Yochlu. And so the response of Rabbah is, yeah, that it's fine. It's fine. It's the end of the Seder. So you're two cups in, assuming that they're at the end of the Suda. Anyway, yeah, he says, I'm fading in and out, but it's fine. That's Nisnamnim. Nisnamnim, as we learned in the Mishnah, according to the Sheet of Rav Yossi. So it gives you the right to eat. Now, of course, Abai and Rav are living well after Churban Bayis Sheni. So over here, they're not describing the Karban Pesach, meaning the Mishnah is describing Karban Pesach and the allowance to eat Karban Pesach in this state. Obviously, Abai and Rava were talking about matzah. So basically what we're saying over here is that what we learned in our Mishnah regarding Karban Pesach also translates to matzah as well. By the way, the Rashbam makes that point on the Amud Aleph. You go back to the Rashbam. The Rashbam writes, V'hu adin nami b'matzah b'zman hazeh. The Rashbam, I'm on the Amud Aleph, back to the Amud Aleph, three lines after it gets wide towards the bottom. He says that the discussion that we had regarding Karban Pesach is also going to be true of matzah. La'achar shehitzcha lechol matzah chova b'achrona. So after you started eating your matzah chova. Now remember, according to the Rashbam, as we learned earlier this morning, matzah chova is a reference to the afikoman matzah. So v'yashen hefsek achilahi v'shuv lo yochal. So once you fall asleep, so now that qualifies as a hefsek, and now you're not allowed to eat anymore. Mishum de avida zech la pesach bezman shebeis hamikdash kayam. Because again, the Rashbam reiterates, right? The Rashbam is heavy on the theme in the course of today's daf. Is that the matzah that we're eating at the Afikomen, so that's the one that represents the matzah's chofa, because in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, it was that matzah that came in conjunction with the Karban Pesach. Okay, next part of the Rashbam, we don't have to do together, but basically the Rashbam says that the same thing that is true regarding Karban Pesach, that you're not allowed to fall asleep while eating Karban Pesach, is also going to be true regarding matzah Bezman Hazeh, the matzah's chofa, which according to the Rashbam, is the matzah that we eat at the Afikomen. Okay, we're gonna pause over here. We're gonna reserve the discussion of Chatzos and the last time to eat Karban Pesach and the last time that we eat Afikomen. So we'll reserve that discussion for tomorrow. In the meantime, let's quickly recap. Let's review. The Mishnah brought us a halacha in Maftir Nachar Pesach Afikomen. The Gemara gives two explanations of what the Mishnah means. Rav says moving locations. You're after you eat your Karban Pesach, you're not allowed to move locations and eat even non-Karban Pesach in some other location for fear, for concern that you're going to bring the Karban Pesach to this new location. And that's going to be a violation of eating Karban Pesach in Shnei Mekamos. In the same location, according to Rav, there's no problem whatsoever. You're certainly allowed to eat other foods after eating Karban Pesach. That's Shitas Rav. Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel says that Emaftir Nachar Pesach Avikomen is the halacha that you're not allowed to eat anything after Karban Pesach. The last thing that you need to be eating that evening is Karban Pesach, and there's an isser to eat anything after Karban Pesach for fear that if you do, that means that you're going to be eating Karban Pesach before you got to the point of Al Hasova. And the Chachamim are basically moving us, pushing us into a position where the last thing we're eating that evening is Karban Pesach, so it's eaten Al Hasova. That is the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara over here favors Shmuel's pshat. Again, the entire explanation I gave of the Gemara this morning is all according to the Rashbam. Rav Yochanan favors the pshat. We saw a Brisa favoring that pshat. And the Gemara is in support of Shmuel's understanding of our Mishnah. Next discussion that we had this morning was regarding matzah. Nowadays, we don't have Karban Pesach. Is this rule going to be true of Ein Maftirin Achar Matzah Afikomen? And that becomes a statement made by Rav Yehuda Meshumo, but there were two versions. In version number one, Ein Maftirin Achar Matzah Afikomen. In version number two, Maftirin Achar Matzah Afikomen. And the Gemara tried to support both the first and the second version. The version that is accepted halacha is the first version, which is that you're not allowed to eat anything after the Matzah Afikomen. And again, because the Matzah Afikomen, again, the Rashbam's explanation, the Matzah Afikomen that we eat nowadays is Zecher to the Karban Pesach that was eaten back then. So just like the Karban Pesach is eaten ala sova, the Matzah Safikomen also has to be eaten ala sova. The Gemara's next discussion, major discussion in today's daf, is whether Matzah Bezman Hazeh is a mitzvah d'oraisa or mitzvah d'rabbanan, machlokes amorayim. Rava says Matzah Bezman Hazeh is d'oraisa, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov says it's a din d'rabbanan, and the back and forth in terms of how do they darshan the psukim that gets us to Rava's position that Matzah Bezman Hazeh is a din d'oraisa. We started the next Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud. Mishnah talks about falling asleep while eating Karban Pesach, whether or not you're allowed to continue eating Karban Pesach. So according to the Tanakhama, Yeshna Mitzasam, if only some people fell asleep, that's fine. But if everybody fell asleep, so then you can no longer eat it. Why? So the Rashbam says it's a chumrah, it's a stringency. If everybody fell asleep, so then waking up, so it's near it, looks like you're eating a Shnei Mekamos, and that's going to be a violation of eating Karban Pesach in Shnei Mekamos, even though it's not Shnei Mekamos, but it's nearer, it looks that way. So that's the Chumrah. According to Rav Yossi amps up the Chumrah, which is that even if an individual fell asleep, so he's going to be banned and barred from continuing to eat the Karban Pesach. Only if it's Nisnamnim, only if you're kind of fading in and out, then you're allowed to continue. But if it's Tardema, if it's a full bone, if he's fully unconscious, so then he's not allowed to continue the Karban Pesach. This Halacha that we just learned regarding Karban Pesach is also going to be true by matzah. By matzah safikomen, if you fall asleep while you're in the middle of eating matzah safikomen, so you're not allowed to continue eating it. And that we saw in the exchange between Abai and Rava.